Created conversation on SAFM.
25 minutes to 9. Good morning. As you know, our economy is not producing nearly enough jobs and not enough opportunities for people, and particularly young people, to get into work. One of the responses from government to this is to try and promote a policy of localization. In other words, to try and get government departments and SOEs and some companies to use products that are made here. So, as an example, this may include a company like Eskom being told they should buy or must buy a part for a power station boiler from a South African rather than from someone directly in Germany. The idea is to try and create jobs here to provide support for local businesses, but there are other consequences to this. It could make buying this part more expensive for Eskom. One of the claims that is made is that it also leads to middlemen, people who do nothing to add value to the part. They just buy it and sell it to Eskom, so Eskom can legally buy the part under localization policies. Of course, there are other definitions around this and other definitions around procurement, but it is the policy of localization that we'll focus on this morning. First, you'll hear from the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition. Dr. Teboho Makube is the Chief Director for Industrial Procurement and Development at the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition. Then you'll hear from someone who is critic of localization. Anne Bernstein is the Executive Director at the Center for Development and Enterprise. And then finally, Nokwanda Maseko is a senior economist at Trade and Industrial Policy Strategies TIPS. We start then with Dr. Teboho Makube. Dr. Makube, good morning and thanks for your time.
Good morning to your listeners as well.
Let's start by defining what we're talking about. What is localization?
Well, if you refer to localization in the public sector procurement, it's regarding the sourcing of locally manufactured products in South Africa. So we have started with the regulation supporting localization in the public procurement system in 2011. So we have been having that as a policy, but also as part of the preferential procurement regulations from 2011 up until 2017 regulations, which were unfortunately set aside by the Consumer Court last year. So in essence, it's about supporting locally manufactured products. It does not dictate the nature of sourcing. So I must dispel the myth that there is also a requirement that organs of state must procure through a middleman. That is a fallacy.
Okay, so you have to explain to me how it works. What does it mean? If the Water Affairs Department wants to fix a dam and it needs to buy a part for that, what does it mean in that case?
So we have 28 products, right? So commodities. So in relation to Water Affairs, there are meters which are designated for local content at about 70%. We have valves, we have cables, we have cement, which was the last product which we designated in November 2021, which was 100% requiring local manufacturing of cement. So what it means is that we have different products with different thresholds. So anything with 100% local content requirement means that ideally we do not allow imports to come in. So for instance, if the department buys cement for the construction of dams, that is 100%, we don't allow imports. So, but on others less than 100%, it means bidders can go overseas and procure those components, so that local manufacturing can happen in the country. And it covers not only water-related infrastructure, but the rail rolling stock, which I think it received attention from the CDE study, where it is alleged that we are forcing government departments to, or organs of state, like state-owned companies, Prasa, Transnet, that we are forcing them to buy from local manufacturers. It's a legislative requirement, and I can, if I have time, share with you some of the positive
I'm going to come to that, Dr. Mukube. I need you to explain it to me as if I've never understood it before. So let me just start again. So when a government department, so who does it apply to? It applies to a government department, right? But it also applies to the people who supply them. So a contractor who was fixing this damn wall also needs to then comply with the policy. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. If you are going to do business with the government, then you're supplying.
With government.
A designated product. Yeah. So the government means state-owned companies as well, broadly. Any state-owned organ of state.
But it doesn't apply to a private company or a private person if you're doing business with them?
No.
Okay. And then if the government department doesn't do it, are there exemptions at all, or do they have to follow it?
So for each and every designated product, we have built in an exemption process. So if a component or material is not available in the country, bidders can approach the DTIC for an exemption prior to the closing of the tender.
Okay. I am going to give you a chance to sort of support the policy, but you say that the idea of the creation of a group of middlemen is not happening. Why do you say that?
No. It's not part of the local content policy. Nowhere. Local content is about supporting or procuring locally manufactured products. If then we talk about sourcing from middlemen, that has to do with another government policy, but not local content. So that's not true. It's not even supported by any legal statute.
All right. I promised that I'd give you a chance to justify the policy. So this is your moment. Why is it the right policy?
Well, it's the right policy because it responds to the economic challenges we have in the country. So, and besides CDE studies, the TIPS, I'm happy that my colleague from TIPS is here, including Gibbs last week, released a study indicating that there are socioeconomic benefits for supporting locally manufactured products. I think it's done by any other country. No country can develop on the basis of imports alone. And it is important that as government, we come up with measures to improve productivity in South Africa. And I don't think that can be regarded as a cardinal sin. We are not dealing with a religious problem here. We are dealing with an economic problem. So there are multiplier effects associated with an increase in productivity. And obviously using different economic instruments. So local content is one of the many economic instruments that can be used to support the struggling economy such as South Africa.
So, I mean, the idea would be South Africans should consume products made by South Africans?
Ideally, that should be like that. But also remember that we are not necessarily closing opportunities to...
Sure.
to multinational companies. I mean, some of the companies delivering designated products are multinational companies. In the rail sector, we do have Siemens, we do have Alstom, which are not necessarily domiciled in South Africa, but they are assisting South Africa to manufacture these products.
Okay. Have you done any research on whether it's working, on whether it's leading to more companies employing more people in South Africa? Do you have evidence to show that the policy from 2011 has made a difference?
Well, there are studies which the DTIC has done, and also working with various organizations, we have reviewed the impact of that. What I can tell you now is that through this policy and based on the reports that we have, is that we have been able to save more than 78 billion rand. Which could have been used, and that is public finance, which can be could have been used to support other economies. You know, we are externalizing public finance, and through this policy, the money has been used in the country to create opportunities and jobs. So that we do have the results, but. In analyzing localization broadly, you also have to do some institutional frameworks, you know, in terms of how government is procuring, whether there are efficiencies in that.
Dr. Boko Makube, thank you. Chief Director of Industrial Procurement and Development at the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition. You're with SAFM. It's just gone 8:45. Your mediated conversation on the policy of localization continues. Anne Bernstein's Executive Director at the Center for Development and Enterprise. Anne, good morning.
Good morning, Stephen.
You've heard a defense there of the policy of localization. You have recently been very critical of localization. What do you believe would happen if we stop the policy of localization? It would seem, to hear from government, that we would lose quite a lot of money. It would just leave the country.
Well, I think that was not a very convincing argument about the money. I didn't quite follow exactly what Dr. Makube was saying. Our view is that localization policy across the board in South Africa as a general policy as part of our industrial strategy is making it more expensive for our economy. It's making our economy more inefficient. So what's happening is we're saying to people, the government has to buy local. Why would anybody buy anything else? Everyone would want to buy local. You don't buy local if the product isn't available, or it's more expensive, or it's not a very good product. That's when you go for import. So you have to understand that when we compel government to buy local, you're putting up the price of the good that they need. And there are lots of examples now, from Transnet to Eskom. They're telling us that in lots of different ways, the localization policy is pushing up the costs of all sorts of things, from transmission lines, when Namibia can create a transmission line at 2.5 times cheaper than South Africa's Eskom, or Transnet saying that they can't compete. They have to, this policy of localization is forcing their costs up. Now, Dr. Makube mentioned that you can apply for an exemption from the policy, and he's correct, but he didn't tell us that it's done product by product, so one exemption at a time. And we're told that this is taking months and months and months to resolve, and this then pushes up the price of the service or good that a South African entity is trying to produce. So there are lots of ways in which localization is making it more expensive to do business in South Africa.
So there may be an extra... No, sure, there may be an extra cost, but doesn't it also lead to more jobs in South Africa? And that, over time, creates more demand. So the argument would go that it stimulates demand. And yes, there may be a greater cost in the short term, but in the longer term, it leads to more South Africans being employed, and that's a good thing. That would be the argument.
Well, we're a small economy, and I think most people agree, from the president to almost everyone else, that we have to integrate into the global economy in order to expand. We need to find niche markets in the global economy for South African exporters. The problem with localization is we're putting up the walls and we're saying we're going to sell things to each other and that's how we're going to grow. But in fact, we need to export more. And so what the experts are saying is, when you make a good for export, you often have to import intermediate products. And we make that more expensive with high tariffs. So we are curbing South Africa's ability to export more, to grow the economy and more jobs through exports by how we are handling localization. One of the other problems about localization is you put up the goods for consumers, whether it's another company or government or you and me. Our food prices go up when we say we're going to put big tariffs on chicken, for example. So there are a lot of consequences of what seems to be a benign policy. And you know, Stephen, once you start something like that, you protect my firm, and I'm not a very efficient firm, and you push away competition from external operators. Instead of fixing the South African environment to make it a much more cost-efficient place in which to do business, fixing energy, fixing the ports, the roads, crime, all sorts of things that push up the cost of doing business. We're protecting firms that are not very efficient to begin with, and they become less and less efficient, and they demand more and more protection. So it's a direction for the economy that we think is very dangerous.
Anne Bernstein, thank you. Executive Director at the Centre for Development and Enterprise. In a moment, Nokwanda Maseko, Senior Economist at Trade and Industry, Trade and Industrial Policy Strategies. You were there.